I'll tell you, with that kind of applause, you know I don't have to say anything about it. It was tremendous, and their blending of their voices is just perfect. I'll tell you. I can't sing, but I know when I hear good singing. I do at least know that. Some of you probably say that's not even true. But I do. I can tell when someone else is off. A lot of critics are that way. Something's going wrong here. She's paying me back for that joke this morning. It wasn't a very safe joke either. Can you get it right? Okay, try real hard. She's upset. You know, when you attack a woman's credit card, you've gone too far. Some of you didn't hear that were at Villa Park this morning. I said that Linda lost her credit card out in San Diego, but we're not going to try to get it back because they're spending less than she does. Okay, is that better? So, okay. You can meet my wife. She'll be in the trunk of the car tonight out in the parking lot. We're going to look tonight at a very important subject, and that's the child's nature. The child's nature. If you've got your verses, I hope everybody's got them. And you can look at these. You can take notes if you would like. We're having trouble getting this thing adjusted, Linda. I don't know what's wrong with it. I want us to look at who the child is that we are to train. The child's nature. And, you know, so many times people have the wrong idea about what a child and who a child really is. And they've got such a pride thing that when their child does something wrong, they take it that it's a personal thing against them or their family. And it's not. It's the nature of the child. And we've got to understand that nature before we can train our children. If we've got it wrong in the beginning. See, that's what's wrong with the psychologists and psychiatrists today, is because they've got it wrong in the beginning. Oh, I don't mean everything they've got's wrong. I mean, some of their studies and some of their things are valid, but I'm talking about their basic ideas are wrong. I think anyone can help someone if you get someone to talk about a problem. And I think sometimes we've got to be able to open up and admit what our real problems are. But let's look at the nature of the child, and let's look at these verses. These are very important. And where did this all come from? But in Genesis 1:26, and God said, "Let us make man in our image." And by the way, let me just say this. This talks about the Trinity. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea. Now, Bob Steele takes that verse and says, "Lord, why isn't it true? And over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth." That's the things that scare people, right? The creeping things. Now, God made man in his original state was perfect. He was without sin. He had a perfect nature. A baby born to two perfect people in a perfect setting with a perfect nature would be just the opposite of what we have to do. But something happened. If you'll look down here at Ezekiel 28:12, we're going to look at what happened. "Son of man, take up a lamentation upon the king of Tyrus, and saying to him, Thus saith the Lord God, O thou that sealeth up the sun, full of wisdom and perfect in beauty, thou hast been in Eden, the garden of God. Every precious stone was a covering, the sardis and topaz and diamond, beryl and onyx and jasper and sapphire and emerald, carbuncle and gold, and the workmanship, carbets and the pipes was prepared in the day that thou wast created. Thou art anointed cherub that covereth, and I have set thee so. Thou wast upon the holy mountain of God. Thou hast walked up and down the midst of the stones of fire. Thou wast perfect in thy ways from the day that thou wast created till iniquity was found in thee. This song about Satan, he was created perfect too. But see, God always gave a choice. God always gives man a choice. He even gave the angels a choice. And iniquity was found because Satan, we know, tried to supplant God. Satan wanted to say that, I want to be God. See, man started in a state of blessing in the beginning. But man chose of their own free will to go against God. It was a choice. You know, we have choices every day. And those choices are going to affect not only us, not only our children, but our children's children and their children. And our choices, when we choose that we should be in church, that choice is going to affect us and our children and our children's children. When we choose that we're going to put God first, when we choose that we're going to discipline our children and love our children and raise our children the right way, it's going to pay off. But it makes a price in the very beginning. In Genesis 2:17, we see where it all started. But of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, thou shalt not eat of it. For in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. So they were told. They were told. Now, you've heard me talk about poor Chuck. Chuck, where are you? Chuck, there's Chuck. He's very proud of this. And Chuck said, I don't think that was any big deal for Adam and Eve to eat of that apple or whatever it was, pomegranate or whatever it was. He says, I think it was the pear on the ground, but anyway. He says, I don't think it was any big deal. And then I explained to Chuck, I said, Chuck, they were in the garden. They had everything they wanted. They had the most beautiful place. They had perfection. And God says, you can do everything but one little thing. You can have all that I give thee, but one little tree. But you know what the real sin was? The one real sin was when the devil came, the devil says, you'll be like God. See, again, wanting to usurp the authority of God. They made that choice. Now man becomes a corruption. Man started out perfect. Children being born were perfect, but now man becomes a corruption. Now man produces himself after his own kind, not after God, not after it was in Genesis 1:26, but now after his own kind. Genesis 5:3, and Adam lived 130 years and begat a son in his own likeness. Do you notice that? Now he begets a son in his own likeness, after his image, called his name Seth. Do you get that? Do you catch it? Now it's no longer in the image of God. Now we are born in the image of man. Man that has sinned. That makes a lot of difference in the way it used to be. Now man no longer exists in the original condition. You say, what's this got to do with raising children? You're going to see it. In Romans 5:12, wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world and death by sin, so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. You know, some people say, oh, was this original sin? Was this, listen, all sin. All sin. Or was this Adam's sin? All sin keeps you from God. If you have one sin on you, you will never go to heaven. Romans 5:18, therefore, as by the offense of one judgment came upon all men to condemnation, even so by the righteousness of the one free gift came upon all men unto justification of life. Isn't that something? One man's sin entered and one man's sin can leave if we only accept it. Look at Ephesians 2:1. And you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sin. Did you notice that? It didn't say you were sick. It didn't say you were critically ill. It says you were dead in trespasses and sin. And that's the way God looks at a sinner, as dead. In trespasses and sin, and he has to be reborn. A child born into this world is born into trespasses and sin, and he is born with an evil nature. He is not born as it would have been in the beginning, or could have been in the beginning, but he is born with the likeness of sinful man. Once a child becomes accountable, then he is in a rebellion to God. And this is how he enters the world, as a rebel. Now, do you get that, parents? Did you hear what I just said about your precious little child? Did you catch that? I said your child, your precious little darling, enters the world as a rebel. Not my child. I've had parents tell me, you know, I've got a little bit of experience. Well, I've raised two. That gives me some experience. But I've done more than that. I've had a Christian school for 9-10 years. That gives me some experience. I had a parent tell me once, I know my little child never lies. You do? My child never tells a lie. Oh, really? And you're thinking, yeah, you're the biggest liar that ever walked on the earth, and you know it. People say, my little child, no, we've got a real relationship, and my child would never lie to me. Well, dear one, if you think that's true, then let me sell you Brooklyn Bridge. It's still there, isn't it, Brooklyn Bridge? Isn't it still there in Brooklyn? Yeah. Renzi, is it in Brooklyn? You've been on that bridge, haven't you? Okay. It's there. And a lot of people have tried to sell that bridge, haven't they? How many of you have ever bought it? Okay, each child is born with that sinful nature. Look at Psalm 51:5. Behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. That kind of puts abortion people to shame right there, doesn't it? I tell you, this abortion thing, doesn't it burn you? Nowhere in history of the world, they said we had 300, how many did they say? 300,000 at that last march? Something like that? But that wasn't really fair, was it? The press puts out the schedule and tells them, here's it is, here's where you get there. They even printed how to get to the place. With that kind of publicity, they should have had a crowd. When the anti-abortion people get there, they don't even hardly publicize they're there. Quite not fair, is it? Anyway, is it a life or not? Yes, it is. I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. Did you see that? Didn't say when I was born and I happened to be a person, right? You're a person when you're conceived. It doesn't take any kind of brain to figure that one out. But we're living in a day of... Don't you like these animal rights people? Oh, man. If you're an animal rightser, I pity you. Now, some of you probably are, and I offended you, and you won't even listen to me. But you know... I'm not saying I'm for animal suffering. I'm just saying this. We've got babies being killed, and we got people protesting for animals. And you know, if we didn't have animal research, we wouldn't have a lot of people living right now, would we? You know, God gave us dominion over all the animals, didn't He? Yes, He did. Anyway, that's my opinion. I've got a right to it. You've got a right to disagree with it. You've got a right to be wrong. Psalm 58:3. The wicked are estranged from the womb. They go astray as soon as they're born, speaking lies. Is that what it says? That's what it says. They go astray as soon as they're born, speaking lies. Well, not my little darling. I've got the first perfect child since Jesus. You know? Oh, yeah? You know, a child doesn't have to be taught to lie. A child... naturally, being born the way they are, wants to go the way of sin. It's natural. It's what he's born into. A child is self-centered. He wants what he wants, and he wants it 2 days before he's born. Right, moms? You say, I don't believe that. Okay, let me ask you this. You take two untrained children, and you take two children, say, 2 years old, and you put them in a room together, lock the door, and give them a pot of candy. Better yet, give them one piece of candy. And we'll see how well and self-centered they are or they are not. You know what would happen? There wouldn't be much of a room left, would there? See, a child wants to show the gratification of self. And you know, sometimes children are very smart. And sometimes a child is so smart that he will know sometimes how to act so nice and do exactly what mom and dad want. But he's doing it because only he wants a reward, and he wants to fool them, and he wants to trick them, and he wants to get their way. And they know so quickly how to fool mom and dad and make mom and dad think, well, my child is really spiritual. I had people tell me sometimes that their children at young ages are spiritual. Listen, your children at young ages are not spiritual. They're incapable of being spiritual. It's impossible. When parents are deceived, and they really believe that these children are born into this wonderful world, how are they going to train them? You must see the truth that they're born into sin. You know, people say, well, children will be children. You ever hear that one? Well, that's true. I agree with that one. And if you don't stop them from being children, they're going to grow up being children. Yes, sir. Children will be children. There's no doubt about that. But they're going to be children when they grow up. Do you know some adults, even in this room right now, are very childish in their actions? Do you know that because you and me were not really trained the way we should, it has hurt us many, many times in our adult life? Do you know many times we act childish? I've seen people who are mature in a lot of areas, but the first time they don't get their way, we ask them something real nice. Could you do this for us right now? We asked some of them last night, and I'm going to get a little picky right now. Some of our members, would you all mind kind of holding off eating right now? We had a person get quite upset over that. Why? That's childishness, isn't it? Goodness. Could you all hold off a little while? When we've got lost people and we're trying to feed everybody and we've got a big line going out the door and everybody's doing all they can do, you get mad. Isn't that something, how we are sometimes? Oh, I'm just as bad. I'm not going to point fingers and say, well, I have a right and I never do anything like that. I do it too. That's our childishness that never got out of us when we were being raised. Isn't that a shame? Adults act like childish people. See, we're going to be able to do a lot more than that for our children, I hope. See, a child for his own good must not let his old sinful nature ruin him. And that's why we've got to correct him. Children must be restrained by their parents. Now, this is where we get into trouble with the world today. Now, listen. No one in our church has ever abused a child. We've never had a child in our church that some parent threw them against the wall, beat them up, broke their legs, broke their arms, broke their head. And I'd be the first one to be against it, and I'd never tolerate it, ever. But see, the world today doesn't know what abuse is. The world today says that if you spank a child, that's abuse. And that's a bunch of garbage. 1950 years since Christ, we've been spanking children in America, and it hasn't hurt. Not in America, but in the world. And it hasn't hurt. It's worked. All of a sudden, these child psychologists are getting up and telling us it's wrecking our children. And yet the children right now are more wrecked than they've ever been before. Because we're living in a permissive society. We're living in a society that the children control the parents. Look at Proverbs 29:15. The rod and reproof give wisdom, but a child left to himself bringeth his mother to shame. I want to explain that. That word left to himself in the Hebrew is like an animal without a fence. Now, you know what would happen if you had animals and you didn't have a fence for them? It would be kind of bad, wouldn't it? They get in a lot of trouble. A lot of trouble. Back in the days, as you heard me say this morning, of Abraham Lincoln, they all had animals and they had their fences for their own animals to be kept in and keep their other neighbor's animals out. An animal without a fence is going to get in a lot of trouble. I don't know if any of you have ever had to go round up cattle that got out of the pasture, but I've had to. Have any of you ever done that? Let me see. There's some of you have done that. Some of you have done that. Round up cattle that get out. It's kind of interesting, isn't it? They don't want to go the way they're supposed to go. And they always know to go the opposite way. We've got fish in our aquarium that no one can catch. That's right. You can take a net and you cannot catch them in our saltwater aquarium. You can't catch them. They are too fast. You cannot catch them. There's not a person in this room fast enough to catch one of those fish. The only way a pet shop catches them is they put them with a barbless hook and catch them that way, but they cannot catch them with a net. They just go all over the place. They go all directions. And that's what happens when you let a child, you're supposed to train that child, and if it's left to himself, it's like an animal without a fence. And the child goes into conformity of the world. 1 Samuel, if you'll look, please. And last week I said Isaiah instead of 1 Samuel. So if you had the tape from last week, correct that, would you? 1 Samuel 3:13. For I have told him that I will judge his house forever for the iniquity which he knoweth because his sons... Now I want you... This verse is important. His sons made themselves vile, and he restrained them not. This is Eli. It says his sons made him vile, and he didn't make his sons vile. His sons made themselves vile, but he didn't restrain them. Do you get it? When you let your children just go, they're going to be vile. And what does God say? I will judge his house forever. Does that mean that those other children are going to be born without a choice or a chance? No. It means that when you go against God's plan, you're going to not only affect you, but you're going to affect your children and your children's children all the way on down. The word restrain means to make weak or feeble. In other words, we're to make their old nature weak. And we're to make their new nature strong. He did not make them vile, but we've got to stop them. How many of us wish we had control over our evil desires? How many of us wish that we'd never had anything in our life that would have messed us up? Sex and marriage is wonderful, but it's out of control. It's a horrible thing. Money is not what's sin. It's the desire of money. It's the root of all evil. See? How many of us wish that never in our life had we ever heard any dirty jokes or anything like that that affects our nature? And when we can bring our children up and not let them have that, they're going to have a lot better life. I'm not saying they're going to be perfect, but they're going to have a lot better life. And their children are going to have better lives. Now, this is what's very, very important. Now, the subject I'm going to get into now is critical for you understanding how to raise children. And that's the ages of a child. The Bible uses four terms talking about people. Infant, child, youth, and adult. Infant, child, youth, and adult. Now, we know what an infant is. That can't take care of itself. Self-centered. Cries a lot. A lot of problems. And they learn the self-centeredness. They cry to be held and you know, isn't that the way, mankind, not only mankind, but animals. We've got a bird back here. Chirpy, right? Is Chirpy the name? Chippy. I knew it was something like that. Chippy. Now, Chippy, that dumb bird back there, and it hadn't turned to be real smart yet, but when you walk in and that bird's been alone for a day, that bird wants you to come over and pick it up. That dumb bird wants fellowship. And I mean it wants it bad. It wants to be held. Well, not cuddled, but I mean, you know. That bird likes Christine. They're very close. She says she just loves something with, you know. And what's a child? Well, that's before the teen years. From the infancy to the teens is a child. Now, when they're a child, this is where the parents better get a hold of the children. Because after they're a child, it's awfully hard to do it. I'm not saying it can't be done, but it's awfully hard to do it. They know how to manipulate. They get very smart. Have you ever seen a child turn down a candy bar just to say that I want my will? Even though the child wants a candy bar, and the child wants a candy bar real bad, but the child will turn it down just to say, I want my own will. I've seen that many, 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 many times. I've seen children for no reason. Now, this will be very embarrassing to my son, but one time we took him out to Sears for his picture. And he absolutely refused to smile. Matter of fact, he cried. And cried. Well, he wasn't that old. He's only 15 at the time. And he cried and he cried and he cried and he cried. And I said, and, you know, it's kind of hard to control it at Sears, isn't it? I was about ready to say, I'll give you my son for another charge card, you know, or something. And cried and cried and cried. They determined, and he determined, you are not taking my picture. It doesn't hurt to take a picture. Every other time he liked to get his picture taken. But he was going to assert that at that point that nothing and no one was going to take his will. He wanted to have his will. Now, they will tell you today that that's good. Now, let me ask you this. Would that be good for an adult to do that and act that way? A child will do anything to have his own pleasure. Now, the child age is the place that most behavioral patterns are established. And this is the time we better get a hold of them. Now, of course, some areas overlap. But from infancy to 13, before your child is 13 years old, you have to deal with them in a different way than you do when they're 13 and older. From 13 to 18 to 20, they need to know reasons for things. But up to 13, you do not have to reason with your child. More parents reason with their little children than you will ever believe. I see parents telling little ones, now you know you shouldn't have done that. And you know you shouldn't have done that, don't you? Now why did you do that? Some little three-year-old. You know. Well, why did you do that? I don't know. I didn't mean to. My sister stuck out her tongue at me, and I did it. You know. And they sit there reason with them. That child does not need to be reasoned with. You do not need to train your child to reason. You need to discipline your child. You need to control your child. You need to teach your child to do what's right. God gives you that right, as we talked about last week. We need to be able to see this. It's very, very important. And then when they become a youth, this is the masculinity and femininity. This is the time that they reach out for more privileges and they... them and more responsibilities. When my children were young, I'll tell you, you might call overprotective. I was overprotective, and I make no apologies. Some of you let your children run the neighborhoods. I would have never let my children run the neighborhoods. Never. Not in today's age, brother. That's your privilege. You're the head of your house. I won't do it. But as they got older and I learned to trust them, I let them have more and more fences. You know, they start out and you put them in a little crib, or then you put them in a playpen, then you put them in a backyard fence, and then you let them expand their horizons as they prove themselves. My children were young. I did not take my eyes off of them. When my children were around water, I watched them. Or my wife watched them. We did not take chances. As they got older, as we knew that they could swim, as we knew that they could do this, then we give them more and more trust. To the point when we were down in Mexico a few years back, I let my son dive at a depth of 100 feet, and I think that's about the stupidest thing I ever did. But I let him do it because I trusted him. I still think that's the stupidest thing I ever did as a parent. He got up and he made it all right. He came up 10 miles from where he went down. And 100 feet is pretty far, isn't it? It's a 10-story building. And I regretted that. But I trusted him because I believed he would do what he was supposed to do. When they become the teen, they will look up to someone, and this is the time that the maximum time for parents to influence the youth. This is the time to talk with your kids. And this is the time to reason with your children. But I'll tell you what, if the child's not in order, this is the time that they're going to get more rebellious. They're going to sass mom and dad more. And it's going to get worse and worse and worse. And then, of course, by the time the adulthood comes, a child should be on their own. Now, what child training means? Here's what it means. I'm going to make it real simple. There's a lot of definitions. But child training means getting the result that you set out to get. Training is getting results that you expect to get. Now, if you plant a plant and you want it to grow a certain way and you tie it to certain things, you expect certain things out of it. And if you don't do that, then you didn't train that plant correctly. An athlete, training, should get tougher and tougher and tougher. If you're training an athlete and that athlete can't run around the gym one time, you've been a failure. If you're in training, what are you doing? I'm a marathon runner. How far can you run? One lap. Something's wrong. You're not getting successful. When God says train a child, it means to get results. I've had parents tell me over and over, well, I've always told my children what's right. I don't know what went wrong. See, telling your children what's right is not going to save your child. That's not training. An example to your children is not training. Yes, an example is good, but it is not training. Well, I did my best. I don't know what happened. Doing your best won't do it. You've got to train your child. See, if you do it by example, let me tell you what's going to happen. Your children are only going to pick up your faults and not your good points. And you're going to be very shocked someday. But I do my best. I set the example. I took my kids to church. I put my kids in a Christian school. It won't matter. That's what I try to tell parents. If you're not for real for Christ, don't put your kids in a Christian school and waste your money. Don't do it. There's free education and use it. Don't waste your money. If you're not willing to train that child, a Christian school is not going to make it up. A Christian church, yes, it's important, and the Christian school is important, but it's not going to make up the difference. Any way you want to try it, it's not going to make it up. See, children must respect authority before they can be trained, or they'll never be trained. Raising a child is not doing it by an example, and you don't raise children, you train children. There's a difference. You raise cows. You raise a garden. You train children. we asked little Rodney tonight, Rodney, do you want to be raised? He said, no, I don't want to be raised. He said, I can't get stretched that far. He did say that, too, to my daughter Julie. You train children. You raise cows and you raise plants. Parents are to train. I want to get that in your mind. You are to train your children. Proverbs 22:6, if you'll look at that verse. Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. Some people say that means you just let them have their own personality, and when they grow up, they'll still have their own personality. That's not what it means. That would be a contradiction. If that were, if you let them go the way they're going to go, and they're going to be that way, well, that's not training, is it? No. It's train up a child the way he should go, and when he's old, he won't depart from that. The word train is to put a child in the right path and keep him in it, to where he gets so used to being in the right path that when he's old, he won't depart from the right path. Now, when a child is in submission to the parents, and as they get older, they're in a position to influence those children in a tremendous way. Talk with your children. Have fun with your children. Hug your children. I tell you, I think that today, parents, you know, they don't talk with their children. They may be home. They may have the carnal vision going, and everybody sits around. Nobody even knows how to talk. They don't know how to think. They don't know how to act. You need to learn to talk to your children. You need to learn to go somewhere and do things with them and hug them and compliment them and praise them. That's one of the big problems. You don't praise them enough. They need to be praised. They need to be said, boy, I tell you, what you just did was great. And when they do something bad, then they need to get disciplined for it. When they do something good, they need to be loved. I've seen parents that when I grew up, I remember one of my best friends. He was a big old guy, and I shared with you about him. His name was Johnny Beaton. And he was going to be a major league ball player. And he did get drafted and all, and he did play in the minors, but he never made it. And he was a great basketball player. He went to another school, and we ran around together a lot. And his dad was one of those disciplinarians. And I mean, if that kid made one mistake, and I tell you, it was bad because the dad never showed the kid any love. And I resent that very much. And I say, this is not what we're talking about. We're talking about discipline and love. We're talking about not trying to find every little fault in a child. We're trying to say, praise that child. Give that child a good self-image. And say, boy, what you did was great, man. And when they do something bad, you don't say stuff like, you stupid. You say something like, you know, for someone as bright as you, what you just did wasn't real good, was it? There's a difference, isn't there? Man, I can't stand it when people go, you stupid, you're so stupid, you know. You're an idiot. Oh, don't do that. They're going to believe it. And once you convince them of that, you got no chance with them. And this poor guy, his folks were so strict on him. See, his dad had been a prisoner of war, and I mean, it was terrible what happened to him. I mean, literally, he ground his fingers down and I can't really blame the father either because what he'd been through. But I mean, his kid was, and I'm not kidding, I was nervous just being over at the house. There was tension all the time. And this is not what I'm talking about, dear friends. I'm not talking about just disciplining the children and making them live in a regimentation. I'm talking about loving them to death, making them feel relaxed around their parents, making them feel like they can trust their parents. But if they are bad, you discipline. And if they're good, you love them. You compliment them. And that's what we're trying to say. This is what's so important. Now, Deuteronomy 6:6-7. This is extremely important to understand these verses. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart. And thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thy house, when thou walkest in the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. In other words, the Word of God is to be a repetition. It's to be repeated over and over and over. As a Dr. Cameron used to say, repetition is theological mucilage. I don't know what that means, but it sounds good, doesn't it? You've got to repeat it over and over and over. Teach your children. Why? Because they're born into sin, their old nature, and you've got to repeat it over and over and over. That's why I like those packs of pirate tapes, because they talk about all these good things. And it's so good that everybody in the church listens to Pax the Pirate. Even the adults, they sure do. You know you do. It's not the children that get to hear the first editions, it's you parents. And they hear it over and over and over again. And you've got to put that in their minds. They've got to see that example. They've got to see that example at home. And it'll work. And I'll tell you, there's no greater blessing on the face of the earth than when your children are teenagers and they're serving the Lord. And it's worth it. Look at Deuteronomy 4:10. Especially the day that thou stoodest before the Lord thy God in Horeb, when the Lord said unto me, gather me the people together, and I will make them hear my words, that they may learn to fear me all the days that they shall live upon the earth, and that they may teach their children. This word teach is continually give it over and over and over again. That's what teaching is. What we try to do. You know, sometimes the way we teach math is that we give it so good that in the early days, fourth and fifth grade, we don't test as high as we'd like to test because we're going over it and 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 over it. But later on, our kids just take off and test so high in math because they've mastered the basics. If you don't learn the basics, you can't not really ever be a mathematician. If you don't know how to add and subtract and multiply and know decimals, you're going to have a hard time ever doing anything else. It's just kind of impossible. And if you don't know, and repeat and repeat and repeat the things to your children. Deuteronomy 11:19. And you shall teach them your children, speaking of them, when thou sittest in the house, when thou walkest by the way, when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. Now it says, go at it. Teach and teach and teach and teach and teach. The word teach is an intensive drill. But you know, sometimes it's not always this way. Sometimes our children, in the teaching aspect, get negative training. In this book, I took a lot of this out of, they have a picture of the father sitting there with a beer can, and he's got popcorn all over the room, and cans all over the room, and a mess all over the room, watching the TV, and his son sitting right beside him, and it says, like, Father, like son. How many times do we have parents and they don't want to set the example? Now, remember I said you've got to train them. And if you give them an example without training them, they'll just take up your negative characteristics. But there's more to it than that. You also have to give them the example. When parents do nothing, it's by default. If you have bad table manners, it's going to be hard to train your children to have good table manners. Training requires consistency. The quicker and the more consistent you are, the quicker your children are going to learn. You go by default when the father says, I leave all the discipline to the mother, or the mother says, I leave all the discipline to the father. You're both supposed to do it. So I leave it all up to the mother. I don't like to get involved. I'm tired. Or you hear someone say, well, my father, he was too hard on me and he beat me and I'm not going to do it to my children. Listen, let me tell you something. I don't care what excuse you have. You better not go against what the Word of God says. Period. If God says to discipline your child, you better do it. I don't want to hear about excuses. When you stand before God and your child didn't turn out and you didn't do it God's way, you know what you're saying? You're saying you know better than the great God Almighty of all heaven. You know what you're saying? You're saying you know more than God knows. I get so tired of people saying, well, I was raised that way, it didn't work. Listen, if you're raised that way, it will work. I've got two teenagers that'll prove it. I'm not going to sit on judgment on how you were raised or how you weren't raised. Only God can do that, but I know this. I know God's Word never fails. I know it's hard. I know some of you were treated terrible as children. I know some of you were abused as children. I know some of you have stories that you can't even tell as children. I know some of you have had terrible things in your lives as children. But I'll tell you, you do what God says and your children are not going to have what you had. Don't complicate it further by continuing on the sin. And God will give you the grace. I had a father here one time, and he says, I was beat as a child, and I can never whip my children. And he insisted on that, and he insisted on that. And one child after the other fell apart and went the way of the world. And I watched that father watch those children go down and down and down and down. And he says, but I'm not going to do what my dad did to me. I said, well, don't do what your dad did to you. Do what's biblical now. Love them and discipline them. Don't ever say that your way is better than God's way. You can't say I'm not giving you the Word of God because you've got it and you're seeing it, right? Here's some other things. Don't ever let an older child take part in a training process. Never. An older child is never to be the disciplinarian and the trainer for the younger children. They don't have the capability to do it and understand it. We have children today, and the parents will say, I want you to pick up your toys. And the child will say, okay, in a minute, Mom. And what are you teaching the child? You're teaching the child that you'll do what the parent wants when it's your will to do it. And you're training the parent. The children are so smart. They're training the parent. Okay, 5 minutes. Okay, 10 minutes. Another 30 minutes, Mom. Okay. No, when you speak, your children better listen. You can be the E.F. Hutton, right? I want it now. Yes, sir. I don't like the way you look. Yes, sir. Some parents, I want you to do your toys. Okay! I'll kick them off! You know? And you just do that. You didn't know I was that quick, did you? You just do that. And they do what they want. Listen, you better watch your child's attitudes and his actions, because before they're 13, you better get control of them. And they say, I'll give. You don't say. If I tell you, you better. You know, no, don't do that. You tell them. You don't holler at them. Don't holler at your children. If you're going to holler at them, do it as you're giving them a little pat on the back. You know. But don't just. You just speak. You do what I tell you. Don't holler at them. They don't do what you tell them. You do what God tells you. Don't holler at them. Don't be fussing at them all the time. Don't be yelling at them all the time. Don't sound like you're fighting all the time. I was awful. My parents, I'd treat everybody so nice, and I'd yell at them, do what I wanted. I was terrible. Awful. I tell you, it takes a long time to get over it, and I'm not over it yet. You don't do those things. You don't talk to your parents that way. God says you want to have a long life. You better be obedient to your parents. And children, let me say that to you. And then parents will say, okay, if you keep this up, I'm going to throw you through that window. Now, the child knows you're not going to do that. He hopes. The child knows that. And now the child learns not to trust you. Because you're not a man or a woman of your word. And the child starts wondering, well, don't trust Mom and Dad? Should I trust, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life, and it can affect their salvation. You be a person of your word. You be a person that when you say something, you're going to do it. A lot of times a father will come home, he'll have a hard day, or a mother comes home, she's had a hard day, and they don't want to deal with the children. Or the children, I don't want to do this, or I don't want to do that. And what happens? The child gets worse and worse and worse and worse. Here's some other things. Don't let your children argue with you. I'll be down the hallway. A parent will say, "Don't do that." "Why, Mom? I was doing a so-and-so did it with this." And the parent's sitting there arguing with their children. A little old child, a big old parent. I'm going, I want to stop, but I can't. You know, I want to say, haven't you had the child course? Haven't you been in this church? What is wrong with you? Sitting there, no. I mean, sometimes they're about this big. Parent can hardly see them. And I'm going, what in the world? And you just kind of walk down the hall and you, "Oh, Lord, help me. Lord, give me mercy and grace. Lord, how does that little child control someone that's been in this church?" No, we don't do this in this, you know. Little children, try to sit there and reason with them. Like you think they're God's apple or something. Man, you don't do that. You don't argue with them. Don't argue with them. I tell you, my children, now they've got a lot of faults, but they don't argue with me. If you train them right, they're going to learn. When they're a child, from infant to 13, they need to learn. After they get 13, they still need to be disciplined sometimes, but you can reason with them. You cannot, a child does not have the ability to reason like an adult can. When we had the concert, many of the children really believed that Jesus died up here on this stage, and they couldn't understand how Daryl Jenny could be running around again. They could not understand that. And a child that argues, they learn how to confuse the issue. And they question, "Why, Mommy? Why this? Why that?" And they start working their way to weasel out. "Well, Mommy. And about the time it's over, Mommy says, okay. And you're so afraid you'll make... Let me tell you something. 99.9% of the time, you're not making a mistake. And if you do occasionally make a mistake, it won't hurt them. Because you're just catching them for something you didn't catch them for. And they sit there and they question. They have this question and answer series. I tell you, that's one of the hardest things for me to do in this church is walk up and down the halls and see this kind of stuff. Now, all of you don't do that. All of you don't do that. But too many of you do it. Too many of you do it. We're going to be talking about active and passive rebellion. Girls are known for being passive rebellious. They don't outwardly jump up, but inside, you know, that they say passive rebellion is when you're standing up, you're sitting down, you know, on the inside. It's passive. And I'm going to do it, but I'm going to do it my way, and I'm going to get you, and your attitude stinks. Active and passive rebellion. We're going to be talking about that. You know, do the dishes. Okay. I'll do them. Then they don't do them. That's passive rebellion. They don't say, "I'm not going to do them." No, they say, "Okay, I'll do them." "Oh, well, I meant to do them. Give me a few more minutes. I got something else to do." "Well, give me a little bit more time." Don't ask the reason. It's the facts that count, right? You have two kids. You've told them, "Don't call each other names. I do not want name calling in my house." You go in the room, you hear, "You're a big fat pig." You go, why did you call Big Fish? Because she stuck her tongue out at me. Is that correct? Is that correct, see? Is that correct? No. They both were wrong, but you said don't call names and don't listen to the excuse. Also, here's another problem. Parents are so afraid that it's going to be a bad thing. Listen, all kids are going to be brought up in their old nature, and you have to correct it. Don't feel embarrassed. If your child is having troubles in school and you think, well, they're going to judge me and think that we're a bad family. No, we think it's natural. Because your children's being what they're born into. They're born into that old nature. We don't judge you that you're some kind of terrible creep. And you got a creepy child. We don't judge you. Don't put your head down. We're not... If you understand that they're born with this nature and you've got problems, listen, there's not a one of you who's not going to have a lot of problems with your kids sometime in school. And you're going to be ready to just quit. You're going to be ready to say it's not worth it. And I'll tell you, sometimes it goes on for 1 or 2 years and you literally almost go crazy. My wonderful, sweet daughter Julie, I had to expel her. And we had trouble with her for 2 years. Well, more than that, but I mean two. And I tell you, that was hard. And here I'm the preacher. And I finally said, that's it, you're expelled. It's kind of hard because she still lives there, you know, at the house. But she didn't come to school. It had an effect on you, didn't it, Julie? Yeah, she's shaking right now. And it was hard. But that's the way it is. You don't just born to be nice. You're born to be evil. And you've got to get it out. We don't judge you. Don't get all upset if you've got a problem. And sometimes they'll go along and they'll be doing real good. And I'll tell you, they know how to test. When a person's out of the learning center and you've got someone else, even these nice Christian kids, we'll test to the limit. We'll test to the limit. Now I've got to wrap up. Help your child not to act in accord with their nature. And realize this, and I'll tell you, your pride won't be hurt so bad, will it? Your pride won't be hurt so bad, will it? It won't be hurt. I want all of you to look at this John 3:16. That's your last verse. I want you to look at this. I say you shouldn't have put it away, should you? You are trying to be quieter now, aren't you? Putting it away. Isn't that something how we are? Now this little piece of paper wouldn't slow you down getting out that door. It wouldn't give you any friction or... Isn't that the way we are, though? I'm the same way. We're all that way. When I see a sign that says, do not walk through this door, I say, I'll show you. Or if you put up a sign, do not throw stones through my plate glass window, you know. But I can't stand it when it says, don't walk through this door. That one gets me. Doesn't it get you? See, that's our rebellious nature, isn't it? I see that. I like to walk up escalators the wrong way. You know, it's fun. I did a lot as a child.